Blog Talk Radio.
Take all of me,
Everything I am, everything I have is yours. I yield to you. I surrender to you. I give my life to you. Everything I am is yours. Everything I have is yours. I'm yours. I don't hold back anything. I don't hold back anything. Everything I have, everything I am yours. I'm yours. My dreams are yours. My future is yours. My possession, yours. My family, yours. My finances, yours. My talent, my gifts are yours. My whole body belongs to you. My agenda is yours. Everything I have, everything I am, 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 it's yours. 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 Everything I am, yours. All I want is your presence. All I want is your presence. Everything I have is yours. All I want is your presence, Jesus. I just want your glory. I just want your presence in my life. I don't care about anything else. You can do with me as you please. I am yours. Oh Lord, I am yours. I am yours.
We just thank you for this time. Lord, we ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that you go out through this radio broadcast. Lord, that you touch someone today. Lord, you know what we all have need of. We're in the need of prayer. But Lord, we ask you because, Father God, you're the God that created everything. So you know every need. You know every person. You know every location. You know our names. Lord, you know, Lord. And we are submitting ourselves to you today. We have already invited the Holy Spirit to come into this place. Lord, we ask you not only that you come into this place, that you come to me and use me as a vessel for your glory, but you send out your virtue, Lord, in the name of Jesus, all over the broadcast, Lord, that you send out your healing virtue in the name of Jesus, that you move by your spirit right now, right now, right now, right now. Loose it right now. Loose every bound right now. Loose every chain right now. Loose every every attack of sickness right now. Loose attack of the minds right now. We bind the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of tiredness right now in the name of Jesus. We come against all pain right now in the name of Jesus. We come against all stiffness right now in the
the name of Jesus. We come against all manner of diseases right now in the name of Jesus, because Jesus, you've already told us that by your stripes, we are healed. You are still Dr. Jesus. There is no power like yours. God, your Father, giving you all power. Yes, Lord, move by your Spirit in the operating room. There's no surgeon like you. Yes, Lord, move in the hospitals all over this world. Yes, Lord, you are the great physician. Yes, Lord, you can come in and touch the mind. You can come in and heal Alzheimer's. You can come in and heal dementia. Oh, God, you can heal AIDS. Yes, Lord, you can heal cancer. Yes, Lord, don't care what the disease name is. We know that you're the healer. You're the divine healer. Hey, you're the divine healer. So no matter what is going to the enemy is happening, all we got to do is look to you. From which cometh our help? Our help cometh from you. No other source, no other place can we go. Yes, Lord, look on the people, Lord, in this community. Help them to come running to you. Say, what must I do to be saved? Help them to come running. Said, I need to be delivered. Help them to come running. Said, I want to be filled. Baptized and filled with your Holy Spirit. Send the restoring Spirit. You're married to the backslider. Oh, Jesus. Send all the Spirit which restores. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, we need you right now. Lord, to touch the man. Was here. Lord, you know what we need of. We need you right now. We need you right now. We want to feel your presence one more time in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we're thanking you right now. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for allowing us to be in the house of prayer one more time. Lord, we ask that you cover us, that you cover me, that you give me what to say to your people, that they might, Lord, receive the word in the name of Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you. Lord, you know I stand up for shit today. Lord, we ask you to do it right now in the name of Jesus. And be careful, Lord, to give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You're listening to Prophet I.T. Kosha, Apostle Thorne Hyphen Kirkland Allen. We are here at, thank you, Jesus, the Prophetic Outreach Chapel, that's LRMG. And we're located at 12025 Griffin Avenue, Cleveland, Ohio. Our phone number is area code 216-538-0432. And we thank you and we welcome you into the service today. Amen. We're going to use for a topic, God has no respect of person. Say it with me. God has no respect of person. Amen. So I wanted to go through here because, you know, this is Black History Month in America. Amen. And, you know, there are so many things that we overlook in the Bible. Amen. But if the Lord give me strength, if the Lord directs me, guide me, we're going to go down and take a little journey. Amen. First one says Romans 2:11, reader. It's it. And while we're there, amen. Thank you, Jesus.
For there is no partiality with God.
Amen. You know, we can have partiality from all kinds of perspectives, amen. We can have partiality because you're a Democrat and somebody else is a Republican or independent, amen. We have partiality because you dress well and someone else doesn't dress like you, amen. We have partiality because maybe you smell like you need a bath and you know, we don't want to get next to you because so we want you to sit in the back row or maybe we don't even want you next to us at all. We have respect the person, amen. But God has respect. No respect to person. I don't care what your title is. I don't care, because no respect of person. It does not make the difference, because we are all trying to achieve the same title, and that title is servant of the Most High God. Servant of the Most High God. Amen. Next reader, if you will read 1 Samuel 16 and 7. Thank you, Jesus. My son, grandson, there is a Bible. If you're trying to keep up with it, there's a Bible right there in the first seat. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. It said, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. I'm going to say that again. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Amen? I don't care how you come in here dressed. I don't care if you got $1,000 suit on, $1,000 shoes on, all kind of rings and jewelry. I don't care, because God, now I'm looking at all of that stuff. God is looking at your heart and your motivation, because perhaps you came to church just to show off, amen? And man, looking at all that stuff that you have, and maybe want to give you the best seat because of that, that means nothing to the Lord, amen? Because, see, that's our problem today. We are so busy looking on the outside that we can't see on the inside. Because, see, sometimes people can be, you know what, beautiful people on the outside, but so ugly on the inside. And what, you know what, I want you to know, saints of God, today, whatever is in you going to come out. So if you're ugly on the inside, I don't care how you dress it up, it's still going to exude ugliness on the outside. It's still going to come out that you maybe your motivations are not right. It's still going to come out. Oh, help me today. That maybe that you just a snake in old sheep clothing. It's going to come out. One thing we know for the Lord, one thing we know, because, see, God is what? El Shaddai. God is almighty. You can't hide from God. The inside of your soul, it is a mirror to God. God knows what's going on. Amen? Amen. Sometimes, you know, they're using the expression about, you know, you can't put a wig on a pig and all that kind of thing. We read in class about putting a wig on a pig. That's what I read to my kindergartners. And, you know, the wig had all kinds of colors, and the students just bust out laughing, because you know how ridiculous that looks with a wig on a pig. Hey, but see, that's where we at. We're looking at all those outward things, and we're not trying to see if they have plurality on the inside. Amen? But see, according to the Lord says, he had already, see, going out there, this man was trying to go out there with his carnal mind. God sent him to find a king, amen? But what he was looking for was what he perceived would make a good character, a good structure for a king, amen? Because, see, if you're going out there and have a job to do, it does not matter what you look like. It does not matter how old you are. Does not matter how young you are. It don't matter how tired you are. When God gets ready to use you, he can put in you whatever you need to do the job that he's calling for you to do. Amen? But see, God knows us because he made us. Man thinks they know us because they are part of where we are. They look at us with their carnal mind. And the Psalms, if you go to read the Psalms 105 and 27. Thank you, Jesus.
They performed his signs among them.
All right.
And wondered in the land of Ham.
Amen. Now, let me tell you about something here. As we go down this journey, amen. I don't know if this is more of a teaching message or preaching. The land of Ham is in North Africa, amen. It is known as Egypt. Think about that. the land of Ham is in North Africa, is in Egypt, amen? And think about who was in Egypt and why were they there doing miracles? Why were they there? If you walk with me, then you can see the journey about how ordinary people are being used by God. Amen. I want to tell you about Ham, Brother Ham here. We say the land of Ham. Well, what do you mean the land of Ham? The land of Ham is not called that. Just so you know out there, it's called Egypt. But there's some history about that. Amen. And it's really perplexing if you think about what goes on, what went on, because when you read the stories about things that happen on TV, you read the story about Exodus, you know, they have the Ten Commandments, they have all these things out there, and you look and you see the people, but does it represent what actually happened in the people during that time? And the answer to you, I want you to ask that question when you read that, if what has been depicted on TV, what has been told in stories, what has been written in books, is it accurately what the Bible says happened, amen? In Genesis 5:32.
And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
All right. Now, you're talking about God using ordinary people to do some extraordinary things. None of us here are even 100 years old, amen? And we're talking about all the things that our body goes through, and some of us that are not even 70 or whatever in that case and call ourselves old. Think about this man, 500 years old. How much his body, you talking about you think you're tired today. Well, how tired could Brother Noah have been at 500 years old? Amen. Not only the thing he had that he was able to have children, but God had to use him to make what? The ark. Think about it. He's 500 years old out there trying to build an ark. God used an ordinary man to do an extraordinary thing. All right? Now, Ham was one of the sons that helped build the ark. Amen. You know, God wanted it to. Noah could have built the ark all by himself. Amen. But God gave him what? Some helpers. Amen. So he helped him build the ark according to blacksinthebible.net. Ham, now here's the interesting thing. Ham is the father of the black race. I'm going to say that to you again. Ham is the father of the black race. Now think about that. We already went down to where Africa is. We told you about in the land of Ham, known as North Africa, known as Egypt, and now we're telling you that Ham was what? The father of the black race. What does that say about the land of Ham? Amen? All right now. Now, here's a thing, if we go on, and you can bear with me. Nimrod, here's the thing. We have heard, and we use the term Nimrod as a derogative term, like we always say, you know, the person maybe is incompetent, we use that name in the wrong way, amen? But Genesis 10:10.
He got Nimrod, he began to build an ark for God, on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Ephrat, Akkad, and Shinar, in the land of Shinar.
Amen. Now, think about that. We use that term as a derogatory term, like someone's what? Dumb. They're stupid. They don't know what's going on. And the Bible tells you, what was Nimrod? He was, one of the things was, he was what? A mighty man, amen? That he was not only a mighty man, but he was a great hunter, amen? And Nimrod, not only was he all of that, but guess what? He was the king. Now, how could someone that's nimble, that's not suited, that's, you know, dumb and all that, be all those things? And even the king in human history, and he ruled mankind from the Tower of Babel after the flood of Noah. Think about that. After the flood, he was king. And if you know anything about the Tower of Babylon, well, there it was. How could someone dumb have constructed something so great? Amen? How could someone dumb have gotten the people together all in one accord so they can come together and build a tower up high? How could someone so dumb be a mighty hunter and be called that in the Bible? Amen? Now, think about that, but this is a person of color. You know, we don't want to give God the credit for that. All right? Is he depicted in anything? Have you seen him as a person of color? No. All right, Genesis 16:1-4.
Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go in to my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram needed the voice of Sarai. Then Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went in to Hagar and conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes.
They say amen. So I'm walking you down through the history to what's going on. If you understand, Hagar was a black woman from Africa. Did you hear what's saying here? She was a black woman from Africa. She was reported in scripture as the first enslaved sex victim, namely to Abraham, because she was a slave. Amen? That wasn't her duty. That was not her job. But the father of the Arab and Jewish people had got her impregnated, listening to his wife, the African enslaved worker she obtained from, now think about this, his wife obtained Hagar from Pharaoh, the greatest, let's back that up, from king in Africa. He was the greatest king in Africa. He was Pharaoh. Amen. What does that tell you about the people there? And you see them in the picture in the movies that, you know, they have a lighter complexion. But right now we're letting you know, if he was the greatest king in Africa and he was Pharaoh, where were Pharaohs at? Pharaohs, where I told you earlier, where they were. They were in the land of where? The land of Egypt, also called the land of Ham. The land of Ham. Amen. If we go down a little further, in Genesis 41:45, I'm going to go there and sit on down, Rita. And 41:45, 41:50, what we're talking about here is Abyssinia. She was the daughter of an African priest who named her after a black goddess, the Greek renamed Mibera. Now think about these things. They help these people who are in history and how they present themselves, how God uses just ordinary people, and then extraordinary things happen to these ordinary people that nobody wants to give credit to, nobody looks at them as being important, all because of what they see on the outside. But she was named after a black goddess. That, what did that tell you? There were some people of color in Africa during that time. They weren't depicted as all people of European. They distinguished who was who. But it says, and here's the thing, Abyssinia was a native of Africa, and all her in-laws were Jewish. What does that tell you? If all her in-laws were Jewish, what was she married to? She was married to a Jewish man, and she met her in-laws when her husband summoned all the Jews in the world not some, but all the Jews in the world to Africa to weather a famine. Now think about that. The Jewish people had to come where? To Africa to weather the famine. Isn't that something? And it didn't say some of them. He said he summoned all the Jews in the world to come to Africa. Isn't God good? Isn't God good, amen? Now there she was, just a nobody. Just a nobody happened to be married to somebody who knew something. Amen. If we go on a little further, this is what found interesting to me on this generational day. Zipporah, Moses got in trouble over this, and this is Numbers 12 and 1. Moses got in trouble because of Zipporah. If you think about it, Moses left the land of Ham because he got kicked out by what? Pharaoh. Then once Moses came and he met Zipporah is when he got his strength and everything else back. Amen? Moses, who wrote the first five books of the Bible, married to an Ethiopian woman named Zipporah, was persecuted for it, says blackinscripture.com. If you read for me, read the Numbers 12 and 1.
Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of an Ethiopian woman whom he had married, where he had married an Ethiopian woman.
Amen. All right. So now, think about that. These are other Jewish folks saying now, why you think that they're upset? They're mad because he married out of his what? Out of his race. But guess what? Did that happen by half a chance? Moses was worn out, you know, almost on his deathbed, it seems like, if you put it in the movie. And who should come around was this black family. Amen. The black family who drew water for him and caused him to live and not what? Die. Did that happen just by happen chance? No. God meant to be so. Here she was, a shepherd's daughter that happened to be, if some would say, well, she just happened to be in the right place at the right time. There's no such thing as just happened to be at the right place at the right time. Here she was, the daughter of a shepherd that God placed there so that Moses would get strength and not die. Moses married according to what the Lord had prepared for him. Amen? But then you got people who, because now his people who were Jewish, who were trying to supposed to be with him, were criticizing him because of all of what they saw on the outside. They were upset because she wasn't Jewish, but they had not looked at the fact that God was El Shaddai. There was a plan for this. God knew that this woman was going to be what the helpmate for Moses. Look what Moses had to go through. Look how many people he had, the times he had to go down there to Egypt, to the land of Ham. Look how many times he had to labor among his people who didn't want to believe him. Look how many times he had to have meetings with the elders because they didn't want to believe that God was going to deliver them. But his support was his wife. We say here, next to every great man is a great woman. Maybe he couldn't get that from an Egyptian woman. Maybe they wasn't built to go through, but a hard-working shepherd wife, hard woman, yes, shepherd wife, know what it was to go through, know what it was to be like in the wilderness, know what it was to struggle, know what it was to have to go through and feed sheep, know what it was to cook meals, know what it was to be a servant, not sitting up somewhere on the throne being served. She knew what it was like to be a servant, a worker. Oh my God, how we don't know about these people, how God had placed in lives so that he could do extraordinary things, amen? And then there is Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, Lord help me today, Acts 8, 26 and 27. And it talked about who she was, amen? There was mention of her. Amen.
If you have it, I'm going to go on, Breeza. You don't have to go there. Okay.
Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gath. This is desert." So he arose and went, and he told a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship.
They say amen. Amen. Now think about this. We don't hear about these people that are important. If you think about African and Ethiopians probably today, you think about people who are impoverished, who are going through starvation and all this. It's letting you know that in these times, we had some smart, anointed, appointed, and capable women. Amen? She was queen, not servant, not slave, but queen of the Ethiopians. Thank you, Father. Think about it. And this man, with all his authority, he could have stayed where he was. But where did he come? By divine intervention, he came to what? Jerusalem to worship. Amen. But there he was trying to read something that he didn't understand. Amen. And today's time we said, well, how can they hear unless they have a what? An ear. And how can they can't hear unless they have hear from a who? This man right there was trying to understand something, but the Lord sent him someone to let him open up his understanding. Amen? So it wasn't that we have everybody that we read about it, all slaves and that's broken down and just, impoverished. There was some divine intervention going on in the day. Amen? Then we have, thank you, Jesus, we have Terahakar. Yes, now he was the king. We heard about queens. I'm trying to take you down. He was the king of Ethiopia. And guess what? God used this man. We know that, and the church mother is always saying this, the chapel is always saying this, we know who God's chosen people are. Amen? The chosen people are who? The Jews. It's the Jews. God used, and if you want to say it, however you want to say it, a black king, an African king of Ethiopia to save his Jewish folks. Amen? He, during his reign of King Hezekiah of Judea, was done to him from out of his tension of destroying Jerusalem and departing its inhabitants according to blackinthebible.com. But God used an African king to come and protect the Jewish people and change the direction and intention of the destroyer that came. Amen? He wants to destroy Jerusalem, people captive, and just spread them all out throughout the region. But God said, not so, because these are what? My chosen people. So he rose up a king, and he knew that that day would come. So he said, I've got the person that I know is going to take care of it. I got a person that's going to rise up and defend and work according to the will. I got a person that's going to rise up and go where I send them. I got a person that's going to lead his people to do my will. I'm going to raise up a king that's going to be what I need him to be in the time of trouble. Don't you know God can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things? Amen. Now, you think about all these people that we have maybe heard about but we have not thought about. But here's one we all probably know about, the Queen of Sheba. Amen. The first was used in the Bible of the word, the first use of the word queen in the Bible refers to what? A black woman. Now think about that. The first time the word queen was used in the Bible, it was talking about a black woman. Amen? Now, how special is that? How those of you who think that, well, the Bible don't care about us, here God is making significant things to let us know that not only does he know about us, not only does he care, but he's making sure that we know that we are important. The first reference of king was for black women.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, her name was alleged to be Makeda, but the scripture refers to her as the Queen of Sheba, or the Queen of the South. Her fame was such that, think about this, 2,000 years after her death, her fame still went out. Now, that's according to the blackseatofbible.com. But now, think about this. Jesus Christ mentioned her long trip and referred to her challenge to Solomon's wisdom. Now, think about that. Solomon was the wisest man around, amen? But he said, according to there, here, that Queen of Sheba had wisdom that challenged Solomon's wisdom. Isn't God mighty? Isn't God great? Because of those great minds, it led to a love affair with the wise Jewish king. Amen? So that those are things to think about in the Bible that happened that we understand and we know about the story, but when it comes down to really being you, there is Simon the Canaanite. Now think about this. We know there were how many apostles? How many apostles? There were 12 apostles. Now, one time, do you see when they put the apostle out, have you seen on a regular basis anyone of color? Amen? But I'm here to tell you, Simon the Canaanite, he was the only black apostle of Jesus the Christ. Amen? Now, do you see that? Do you see that? God thought enough of us to make sure we were represented in every single way. Here in the apostles, he was one. Amen? He was one. So don't tell me that we weren't there. It was only about Jews. It was only about the people he picked up that they were Jews. But it tells you in here that God is God and he can use whomever he will. Don't care about the color of their skin. He don't care about their occupation. He don't care about their skill. God is God and he knows people's hearts. He knows their intentions. He knows where they lack. He knows what they have. He knows where they can be. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. See, this man, he converted to the nation of Israel to become a Jew through the oracle of circumcision, says blackinthebible.com. But if you read it as Mark 3, 16 through 20.
Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, to whom he gave the name Bornages, that is, the sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Theodorus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Hezekiah, who also betrayed him, and they went into a house. Then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread.
Thank you. See, I don't want to know about you, but I'm thanking God that God didn't use the black man to be Judas Iscariot. I'm so grateful for that, amen. But he had him mentioned as one of the 12. I don't know how many of us think about that to show us, but we need to understand that we had a place with Jesus, amen? We were not left out at the table. You know, many of us wanted to exclude us on every corner, but Jesus did not exclude us even at the table, amen? When it came down to the Last Supper, who was there? His disciples, including what? Simon, amen? Now, here's the last one as I close. Simon of Cyrene, this man got involved not because he wanted to get involved. He is one who, as some people would say, he just happened to be alone. No, but this is someone who got drafted into a duty which he did not want to do per se, 15 and 21.
Then they compelled a certain man, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross.
Amen. They said compels him, amen. He didn't say that he saw Jesus and said, oh, let me help you. He come over there and said, well, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you carry the cross.